listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, 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 live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello and welcome to this live broadcast. My name is Dr. Doug Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter. And I'm sure she's with us. She'll be here momentarily. Anyway, welcome to the Spirit of Life.
I'm very, very sorry. I'm glad to be here. I didn't unmute myself.
Well, now you're unmuted.
We are not off to a good start, are we?
Oh, sure we are. At least I didn't leave my mute on this time. All right. Welcome to Spirit of Life for Wednesday, November 4th, 2015. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this weekly service, we also have several other educational programs, including EmpoweredRecovery.com, which offers help for friends and family of alcoholics and addicts, Paranexus.org, an association of anomalous researchers, MetaphysicsInstitute.org, that offers bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in metaphysical topics, including spiritual counseling, holistic life coaching, hypnosis, healing, paranormal, and many other areas, and Thomas Francis University, which offers single courses as well as degrees in metaphysical topics. Before, we're going to do our Mindful Expansion program tonight, which is really aimed at personal growth, professional growth, expanding your mind, expanding awareness, and getting you to think. Those are the big things on it. So we'll begin that in just a moment. I'd like to read our abbreviated principles of belief, which are important to keep in mind and apply in your daily life. These principles, nine principles, are: number one, do no harm, do right. Number two, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. Number three, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. Number four, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. Number five, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. Number six, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. Number seven, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. Number eight, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And number nine, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. For these principles in detail, an expanded version, you can find them at the church website, which is metaphysicalhumanism.org. So we welcome those who are listening to this live program, as well as those listening to the archive. We appreciate you spending your time with us. And tonight, to start off with our inner oracle cards, and for those of you who are new to the program, our inner oracle cards are self-discovery cards. There are 54 of them in several suits, and they basically designed to get you thinking and to draw answers out. They're available in the ICMH Church store, which you can find at metaphysicalhumanism.org. They're available for purchase for donation basis of $30 plus shipping. But they are powerful cards, and we have been pulling them the last few episodes of this program, and it just seems to be a great format. So first one we're going to talk about tonight, which will serve as our theme, is, take it away, Dr. Hunter.
And without my mute button.
Yeah,
that's the thing about a live program. You never know quite what will happen. But this is the wild card number two that I've pulled that we're going to take off the show with today. And then some. And that's what it reads. And then some. This is what reads in our little booklet, the Inner Oracle Self-Discovery Cards Guidebook. When you have reached your limits and believe you have done all that you can do, reach deep within to stretch your true potential. Do a little more than is needed and go beyond what's required to make a positive difference. You can do it. By doing so, you are leaving the woodpile a little higher than you found it. Now, that's a really profound card and message in there to begin tonight's program. And then some. And, I mean, I just think of every which way we can apply that, from just simple things like good manners to really challenging yourself to do better in things that you're already really good at. That just makes sense.
That is such a powerful concept. I mean, think about it. If you apply that in your life and at work, especially at work, if you apply that, you will automatically don on what we call the ownership attitude, which is opposite of an entitlement attitude. The ownership attitude simply means you act as if you are owner. And business owners love to see that in their employees, but rarely see it. But you can do that if you just follow that example and then some. You can apply that in all aspects of your life, personal relationships, professional relationships, and you can even apply it when it comes to general routine human interaction, intercommunication skills. For example, when somebody does a nice for you, obviously it's good to thank them, and most people I think do. But if it's something really spectacular, something that they've really done and they've, you know, I mean, and you can do this anyway, but thank them more than once. You know, always thank them more than once, at least twice thank people. You know, it's just courteous and it engenders good relationships. And there are other manners, too, that can come into play when you think about and then some. And this good manners part can also be found in emails.
Don't chew with your mouth open.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. I was going email, not eating, but you can talk about that when I'm done. Anyway, emails, for example, we teach this in our courses. You know, when you're doing an email, you know, use a salutation, a greeting. Use and proof your emails. Make sure they're written properly. You know, right or wrong, people are going to judge you by the way you write. Just, it's right or wrong, doesn't matter. They're going to do it. So use a greeting, type the email, proof it. If it's important enough to send, you know, read it a couple of times. Make sure it's spelled correctly. I mean, we all have a typo now and then, but you can reduce them almost to nothing just by proofing them, and then sign your name. And if somebody responds to you, and you know, you ask something, you want something, they respond, they give it to you, you know, be sure and thank them. That's just such an important thing. And just the manners thing and then some goes very well to improving human relations.
Well, and I'm going to tell you, as a writer, I was a professional writer for many years. I actually got paid for it and earned a living. But mostly in journalism, radio, television, you know, film production. But when it came to certain types of writing, man, I really struggled. And I had to give it the and then some. I had to really observe myself. And, of course, I went to the Dr. Kelly School of Editing. And And giving it the and then some, and that's what we do with the IMHS courses too. It's not just to present your material, but the and then some. You know, and not only do students feel like they're really getting their money's worth and learning more, but we know that we're giving the very best of ourselves. And I think everyone would do well to remember that, that no matter what you do, dig deep and give the very best of yourself and dig deeper to give and then some. Just throwing my little two bits in there.
Good points. All right. Now, there's a question in the chat room that I'd like to address. Zach asks, in general, I'm curious as to how one comes to acceptance of their psychic gifts, how one expands their mind to adapt to an emerging psychic gift. Dr. Hunter, I think you're probably the best one to answer that one. No? Okay, I will answer it. I want to make sure.
Again, you know, something is wrong with my mute button. There's something wrong with it. It's not me, honestly. I did push it. I think this is a brand new headset, too, so I'm really sorry about that. Zach, I had caught that in the chat, and I you know, it's one of my favorite questions, actually, to talk about. The acceptance of your gifts is really the acceptance of yourself. And I'm just going to tell you that straight, flat out. Whether or not somebody has, you know, gifted one way or gifted another way, it could be somebody's a doctor, somebody's a lawyer, somebody's a really good typist, somebody is a really good driver. You know, you're accepting what you do. And intuitive abilities in any capacity is the same thing. You accept who you are and what you can do, despite what anybody else tells you. And I can attest to this. Growing up with particularly, you know, an interesting psyche amidst a huge religious, you know, community and family and of course told I was lots of things, but I trusted the voices in my head far greater than I trusted people. And I felt comfortable in who I was enough to, when I realized that the outside world wasn't going to be really cool with this, I had to go deep and just be quiet with it. And, you know, slowly life has changed. Understand that, you know, very many years ago, we couldn't openly have these discussions. It was in little secret societies or amidst your friends. But now we can more openly talk about things, you know, again, within reason, because not everybody, just the same, is accepting. Just accept who you are. So how do you expand that? You're going to change. And we all change. I've changed. I had a particular ability, I thought, when I was younger. And then something else shifted in me. And, of course, then what I call the veil comes down a little bit. And I'm tuned in at a different way. And, oh, now I can do this. And I didn't realize I could do that. But that's because I'm evolving. And the more I could keep my mind open and self-observe, the more then I could just be a growing human being. So it doesn't really matter, I think, if we're psychic, quote-unquote. I think it matters that we're sensitive, we're intuitive, and that we become more of who we are. Dr. Kelly, do you have anything else you want to add in that?
Of course I do. the basic question is, how does one come to acceptance of their psychic gifts? Well, let's reduce that question down to how does one accept themselves? That's really what the question is.
Yes.
And at IMHS in the degree program in course B2, we talk about the life leadership paragon, and the first element of that is self-acceptance. And then there's a lengthy discussion, so I would encourage you to go back and review that. It's the same course as G70 at Thomas Francis University. But there are many tips in there. And here's the thing. Let's bring this into down-to-earth human terms, okay? All right, let's assume for a moment that I've got these psychic gifts that are emerging and they seem to be right on, and, you know, it's new to me and I've had all this brainwashing from religion and people and society and all that all my life. And my question is, well, what do you want me to be? You know, it's who I am. You know, I'm not doing any harm. I'm trying to do right. What do you want me to do? It's who I am. Should I just ignore who I am to satisfy society? And if I do, guess what that's called? Them esteem. I only feel good about myself when I'm doing what other people think I should be doing. That's external validation and expectations. And so when it comes to whatever gifts we have, a lot of people want to downplay it. Well, I'm not encouraging you to get up on the rooftops with a bullhorn and, you know, yell about how great you are. That's not what I'm talking about. But we don't want to deny our greatness either. We don't want to deny our gifts. And again, I'm not talking about being narcissistic. I'm talking about accepting yourself as you are, having a good, healthy self-concept. And I talk about that in the course when I say, you know, I ask people, are you perfect? Every now and then, I get somebody who says, hell yes, and that's exactly what I want to hear. You know, I know what they mean by it. And, of course, I go into a discussion about perfection, which we've done on this program many times. And so the thing is, I am who I am. I'm walking my path. I have a right to do that. Nobody can tell me that I can't be who I am and that I can't walk my path. Now, that's assuming I'm not a psycho killer, right? Because that's not going to work. But generally speaking in life, I'm trying to learn what I can learn. I'm trying to walk my path. I'm trying to do the best I can with the knowledge, the resources, the experience, and the level of awareness that I possess at this moment. And I'm trying to be better tomorrow than I was yesterday. So if it's who you are, it's a matter of just accepting yourself.
I think what happens also is when somebody has a particular psychic gift, there's this social attitude among a lot of people that you're supposed to do something with it, go save the world, or, you know, go rescue people, or, you know, go fix everybody. And that's not the case. This is about your own evolution. It's not about, oh, I'm really psychic, therefore I should go be special. There's the I'm special syndrome. We don't need to do that. You know, people are very intuitive. That benefits them in their daily life. You know, just, you know, you, even if it's something like, you know, your sensory perception, you walk into a room and you get a really bad feeling. Well, get out of the room. You know, I mean, that is how it benefits you. If you're getting, you know, other little senses of things to come, that gives you an opportunity to make choices. It's opening yourself to another dimension to be more conscious, awake, aware, and guide yourself. I always say it's like, you know, sometimes we're like driving bumper cars through life, but it helps you to navigate your way through life. Some of the most intuitive people I've ever met are not readers. As a matter of fact, they're, you know, they build schools. You know, they do other things that has nothing to do with the psychic phenomenon field in particular. So it's you're growing for your own, you know, your own evolution and to be a better manager of life. And I want to say to everybody, no matter what you learn, if it doesn't have some purpose down here, it's just interesting stuff. So you can read all the books, you can, you know, watch all the movies and whatever, but it's take what you learn, take what you know, take how you're evolving to make yourself a better human being and to interact with others in a better way. So you don't have to be a tarot card reader. You don't have to be a palmist. You don't have to be a healer. You don't have to be those things. Just be more of you.
So. Good answer. All right, well, let's pull a card.
Let's pull a card. All right, here I am. Oh, the law of control. Now, isn't that interesting? Number 5 in the Life Leadership Paragon. The law of control reads, differences are inevitable, diversity is desirable. The law of control says you cannot change or control others, but you can have a positive impact or influence. Control only that to which you are entitled to control. Do not give unsolicited advice. Respect that everyone has the same rights to self-creation and decisions. You can accept present circumstances as they are, lobby for change, or leave. Now that's loaded in there. That law of control is loaded. And if I can just, it popped into my mind that, you know, what I was just saying a moment ago about thinking when somebody has psychic abilities and they have to go change the world, that would be kind of, you know, giving unsolicited advice unless people come to you and you
think they shouldn't.
Sure. And outside the self, and how many times have I talked with people who say, oh, you know, I got this flash about the lady at the store and I gave her this long, you know, I told her what I psychically felt and I went, whoa. Because we're, again, just because we have these abilities doesn't mean we're supposed to do anything with them. We are evolving. And don't give unsolicited advice. But, you know, within the law of control, what this little booklet says is also about, you know, self-creation and decisions. It also says about accepting circumstances as they are, lobby for change or leave. It's loaded with stuff. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, boy, we could have. We have.
I think this card came up last week.
Yeah, but it certainly does apply. The only control you have in the world is over yourself. Big capital S. That's the only control you have. And I always say it's really about being a better manager of yourself, self-management. And self-management is control. When you're self-complete, for that matter, you are in control. The more self-complete you are, the more you're going to feel like you're in control of life. Now, we can't control things outside of ourselves. Somehow, I think the universe is always intersecting us with things that don't quite fall in line with what we had in mind, but we still have the power in how we respond. That's control. So the more you know yourself, the more you are self-managing, and the better control you have over your responses and how you interact with others. Dr. Kelly.
Good points. Let's move on to the next card.
Okay. And by the way, anybody listening, if you would like us to choose a card for you tonight, we'd be happy to do that. Just make a little note there in the chat room, and we'll be on it. Well, okay. Number three, self-acceptance. Be who you are. Walk your own path. Boy, is there a message here today or what? This is
there is. And, you know, it's funny how these cards keep popping up. I mean, we talk about this a lot. These cards pop up a lot, and I can only assume that there's a need, you know?
Absolutely. So number three reads, you are a uniquely designed, one-of-a-kind, universal being, equally entitled to all good things the same as others. Drawing this card encourages you to be who you are, to walk your own path, not comparing yourself with others. Give yourself permission to accept who and what you are. Move forward in the direction you need to take that best fulfills yourself. Wow.
Good.
It's right in line with what we're talking. I see Wendy
has
said she would like a card. I'm happy to jump in here. Is that all right with you, Dr. Kelly?
Absolutely.
All right. Okay, Wendy. I'm tuning in. Here's one for you. Hope. Wow. This is number seven of the wildcard suit. It's hope. Just that simple. Hope. Hope lives deep within and inspires the human spirit to continue and expand. Hope, in and of itself, does not create life. Hope desires life. Hope is the root of curiosity, interest, invention, and yearning for more. Even when all feels lost and futile, hope is resurrected by a change of beliefs and core values. Safeguard your hope, for it is the first and last fail-safe of your existence. Do not promote false hope, nor encourage codependent hope. So, you know, that's just a little, you know, disclaimer at the very end. But
yeah.
Hope is at the core of our existence. Mm-hmm. That's the will of spirit. I truly believe that. We are attached somehow to the universe with hope. Because when you lose hope, it's
you're done.
It's done.
I want to highlight that too, because yep. I just feel compelled to. If somebody's listening to this and you feel like you just have no hope left, that all hope is lost, that, you know, you're essentially hopeless. First of all, I want you to remember this, and I want you to take this with all the power and energy that I intended. If you feel hopeless, stop it. Stop it now. And I mean stop it, because the only time that hope is lost is when you believe it is. If you believe hope is not lost, then it's not. You might be going through some tough times, some adversity, some difficulties. Welcome to life. Everybody does. You know, maybe in our early years we thought growing up we had a crappy life, we had a crappy upbringing, had a crappy childhood, whatever. And we thought, gee, we were the exception to the rule. And then, you know, as you get older, you realize it's not the exception to the rule, it's the rule. And everybody's has their story, and that's fine. I'm not trying to weaken anybody's experiences or denigrate them at all. It's just that everybody has these things. We all go through difficulties and troubles in life. That's adversity. And adversity, remember this, adversity is nothing more or less than a state of disorder. So if you feel hopeless, that's obviously adversity. It means you're in a state of disorder. Things are not in their proper place. If you put things back in their proper place, back in their proper order, the adversity fades away and hopelessness fades away. So if you feel hopeless, change your channel. change the channel, change your belief system, stop looking at what you don't have and focus on what you want and focus on that. And the hope will return, but don't give up. There's no point in giving up. It's not going to change anything. It's not going to get any better. You go on to the next chapter, who knows what's there? You know, hopefully it'll be better. But if you've got things to learn in life, learn them. Don't run away from them. Embrace them. It's okay. You screw up, it's okay. Welcome to the human race. We all do. Embrace that.
You know, I might just say, too, that in addition to that, when we're talking about things are out of order, it can very well be our thinking is out of order.
Definitely.
Sometimes we take on, like if we have an A, B, C, D, we're doing C before A and then D before B. So order is just saying what comes first. Mm-hmm. That's simple. What comes first? And sometimes... Hear this clearly. Sometimes it's the smallest effort that moves the energy. And you just have to, and you work on that, and that's hopefulness, right? You know, even if it's something as silly as, you know, you got $5 and you're going to buy a lotto ticket. That's a cheap piece of hope. It's like, it gives you a bit of hope. You got to be able to afford the $5, obviously. But, you know, it gives you something to look forward to, and you just got to inch it along sometimes, just one thought at a time, but put your thinking back in order. So and truly it starts to take on its own growth. Hope begins to grow, and that really is the will of spirit. That really I believe that truly. And I know it sounds easier said than done to say just stop it, but just take a breath and just say, what's one small thing that I can do right now? And maybe that's take a nap. You know, sometimes it's that simple too. Just take a little nap, get up, refresh, and say, okay, what's next? Maybe I'll go get something to eat, you know, or you know, just reach out to somebody, talk to a friend. So.
And one last point. Dr. Dan mentioned in the chat, we want the order to reorder, the reordering to happen now, but it takes time to reorder. And that's a good point. It does take time. So don't expect it to happen now. But if you start focusing on what you want instead of what you don't have, and if you start prioritizing things that into the order of importance and putting them back in the right order, give it a little time. It will change.
Yes. All right. I'm going to turn another. I just turned another card. This is beautiful. In keeping with what we're talking about, number 23, spirituality, meaning, and purpose. Wow.
Good.
Just following up with the conversation on hope, I think that that's pretty special, actually.
Yeah.
The meaning of life is built upon values and beliefs and remains constant. I'm going to say that again. The meaning of life is built upon values and beliefs and remains constant. The purpose of life is the action plan for the meaning of life. The purpose can change. A sense of purpose always evolves. So the question is not what is the purpose of life, rather it's what's the purpose of my life. True fulfillment comes when embracing your heart's desire with both meaning and a renewed sense of purpose to fulfill that meaning. This card can also relate to the meaning purpose of a specific situation or the lack thereof. So, again, the meaning of life. You know, and very often, you know, we all sit back and say, what is the meaning of life? And, you know, honestly, it's kind of senseless to say, what's the meaning of the universe? What's the meaning of life? You know, the meaning of your life is who you are. You know, in the ride that you're taking, that the values and beliefs that you have, you know, that is the meaning of your life. But what you do that gives you a sense of purposefulness, that changes as we grow, you know, in different chapters of our life. But you got to have a sense of purpose that gives you a sense of value and how much you value yourself, but also what you want to express from yourself that goes out into the world. Dr. Kelly.
Yeah, those are all excellent points, you know, and everything we're talking about in all these programs really affects one's spirituality, because all these concepts are existential in nature. They refer to our existence. And, you know, it's something we continue to seek, and it's what it is as it should be.
So has anybody else in the chat room asked for a...
I haven't seen anybody yet. So let's just move on to the next one.
All right. I am turning over a card that's esteem and validation, number two. Yeah, I know. It's an interesting... We get this kind of like the flavor of the night. You know,
and we've talked about it a little bit, but go ahead and read the comment, and then we'll move on if we don't have anything else to add.
Self-esteem is self-worth based on internal expectations and validation, which is not to be confused with them-esteem, which is self-worth based on external expectations and validation. In other words, what other people think. High self-confidence is not the same as high self-esteem. I'm going to say that again. High self-confidence is not the same as high self-esteem. Self-validation is the highest regard you give to yourself. Fully experience the truths of your own path. Now, just to go back there, high self-confidence is not the same as high self-esteem. Just to expand that a little bit, a lot of people can appear to have confidence. And we can have a confidence in the world, but not necessarily... it doesn't necessarily reflect self-esteem, because we can all have these, you know, little negative things that pop up, or we still need approval, or, you know, all those little things that don't reflect confidence. So it's interesting looking at yourself or looking at others, kind of distinguish the two. Is somebody who is appearing confident also, you know, got a good, healthy self-esteem? Because you can tell the difference. So I just wanted to bring that up. Anything you wanted to add there, Dr. Kelly?
No, I don't think I have anything to add. Dr. Dan would like a card.
Ah, it's so good to have you with us here tonight, Dr. Dan. I know you're busy traveling the world and doing all kinds of cool things. And this is... I'm sorry, I this cracks me up. I was just going to say about your health business and you're expanding that. And I turned over Greatness to Deliver. I'm serious.
Greatness to Deliver. Cool.
Number 30. Service to self and others. Greatness to Deliver. And that's what you're doing, Dr. Dan. Every human being is born with greatness to deliver. Greatness embodies unique self-actualization and self-completeness and does not settle for mediocrity. Greatness goes above and beyond what is common and aspires to nobility of character. Greatness is being part of the solution, not part of the problem. Remind yourself with the question, what do I need to reawaken in me in order to deliver my greatness? Remember, you are valued. Delivering your greatness is making a difference in the world. So we know that you already do that, Dr. Dan. But maybe this is a moment when you say, what do I need to reawaken in me in order to further deliver my greatness and continue to expand that? So what a really powerful message for you tonight. That's awesome. And of course we have the, you know, the advantage and privilege of knowing you and knowing how that fits to your life. And, but I think now our audience can kind of clue into what that is. So, that's pretty exciting. Greatness to deliver. Now everyone has a greatness to deliver. And I mean, even if you're serving coffee, that is a greatness to deliver, especially when you put a smile behind it and you treat people with dignity and you serve it well. You know, it's I've had a waitressing job in my life, and my kids have had other jobs. And my oldest daughter, she went in actually, what did they call it, being a barista. You know, they learn about all the coffees and she was serving. And I said, remember, you're giving people coffee, but you're serving something completely different with the coffee, because it's that energy and it's how you present yourself. Always treat every human being with integrity and with dignity and with joy, because that's what people want when they're all going to go in and buy a cup of coffee. You know, one of the things I've noticed in the last several years, living where I am now compared to where I came from, and I say this all the time, where I live is you go in a store and people smile. And they say, how are you? And things are slowed down. The pace is different. And it, to me, that's, they're delivering their greatness in the smallest of ways that makes people feel good. So you don't have to have this big, enormous CEO title behind your name or, you know, go out and be famous and write, you know, bestseller books. You can just be who you are, doing what you love to do, and that's your greatness with a smile, with joy. And
go ahead.
No, I was just going to add the word love in there because it's all about that connection in a loving way.
Good points. You know, greatness deliver. I get a number of students who hadn't really thought of it that way or thought of it with connection with themselves in that way, and it's kind of an eye-opener for them. And a lot of people think, well, greatness to deliver, isn't that a little bit egotistical? The answer to that is a simple no, it's not egotistical. You know, I get so tired of, let me rephrase this, I get so excited when I meet somebody that is not bogged down with all of the low self-esteem stuff. They have a good, healthy self-concept. They appreciate who they are. They don't take themselves too seriously. They realize they make mistakes from time to time. That's okay. It's all a learning experience. See, that's the whole thing. It's your attitude about mistakes and about who you are that really comes into play. It's okay to be who you are. You're going to make mistakes. Deal with it. It just is who we are. You know, I'll give you an example. I just, a few minutes ago, got done talking about proofing your emails, didn't I? Well, gee, a day or two ago, I sent an email off to a student, didn't properly proof it, and ended up, you know, botching it up a little bit. I had to redo it. Wasn't no big deal, but, you know, the problem is I did it too fast. And it was a reminder, stop, slow down, proof. Proof the entire thing. That's the thing that caught me. I didn't proof the entire body, but I did not proof the subject field. And so we all make mistakes. It's okay. You know, it's not the end of the world. You know, I'm not going to go have myself flogged in the public square because of it. Hey, I blew it. I'll learn from it again and keep trying to do good. So when you have greatness to deliver, it's whatever you're doing. Be a great person. Don't allow your greatness to depend on how other people perceive you or whether they think you're great or not. Just be a genuine person who stands on your own two feet.
You know, I might add in here that insecure people don't like secure people.
That's true.
You know, you will get the finger pointed at you, and you will have people raise their eyebrows, and people will say, oh, aren't you cocky? Or, you know, if they dare to say it. But low self-esteem does not like healthy self-esteem. It's when you are living from the inside out, you know who you are, and you're just good with you. You're going through your life just happy and healthy, and other people don't like that. And, you know, and Dr. Dan is saying, you know, in the chat right now, he said that's true. They'll try to lowball you. And that's very true. You got to stay away from that energy or take it with a grain of salt. Because everybody's on their own evolutionary journey. And it's just that, as Dr. Kelly would often say, they're unaware that they're unaware. And it's little dramas. And the only way we're going to evolve is just to rise above that stuff. Just never mind. You know, kind of connect with people who are more on your vibrational frequency. I love that kind of saying. You know, connect with other people you're more in tune with, and then that won't bother you so much. But it really is something we need to acknowledge. The more confident you are inside and out, you're gonna get you're gonna run into some porcupine quills out there.
Yeah. So now go out and deliver greatness to the world. You know, keep learning, keep growing, keep evolving, deliver greatness, and don't tear yourself down. Don't denigrate yourself. Don't denigrate others. Just be part of that solution and be a part of making this world a better place. Let's pull one more card.
One more. Belief system and knowledge base. I love these cards. I do. I love them. You know, belief systems are everything. Because, you know, we live our lives based on what we believe, correct? Hopefully we're open-minded to know that, you know, we can change that. But this is what it says. We each operate life from an existing belief system. And sometimes the solution or the direction lies outside our belief system. Equally, when knowledge is expanded, a belief system calls for revision. Consider that opening the mind for more information and knowledge may be required. Subsequently, adjusting a belief system. Know that the knowledge you seek is within. It really is within us. What we're looking for is inside. Just let go of the belief system and, oh, gee, new thoughts arise. It's quite amazing because confining belief systems can actually minimize our, you know, going back to the very beginning, you know, when Zach was asking about psychic abilities. If you're too strict in your belief systems, you're not going to expand your intuitive abilities. You're not going to be able to see new things and explore and to continue to grow. So the knowledge base that you have is an opening, a doorway for new knowledge. And just because you're learning about new things doesn't mean you have to believe in them. It's just allow yourself to entertain the notions and see how it kind of connects with other things that you have been exposed to or what you've been built on, and recreate yourself because you have the power to recreate yourself. No matter how you were raised, it's not a reason. That can be an excuse, actually. I hear it all the time. So does Dr. Kelly. I've used it myself. It's just the way I was raised. But that's an excuse, that laziness for not wanting to change, not wanting to take that hard look at yourself to say, you know what, I really suck. And to be able to change that, I've had to do that with myself. You know, it's like, that just sucks. And I don't like that about me. I'm going to work on that, and I have the power to change that. These are bad habits. You know, because very often we think our habits are a belief and the belief's a habit. So, you know, we're built on these belief systems to keep the open, you know, your mind open. Anything you want to add to that, Dr. Kelly?
Yeah, let's tie this back to hopelessness or the hope card that we pulled. Because
absolutely,
if you're hopeless, it's a belief system. You believe you're hopeless, therefore you are. What you believe is true for you. And that part about sometimes the solution you're looking for lies outside your belief system, that means you need more data. You need more information. So if you feel hopeless, it's because you don't have enough information. And you might just have a poor attitude toward it based on beliefs, or self-belief, or belief about your circumstances. There are few circumstances that can't be changed with a little work and a little knowledge, a little research. So sometimes if you can't find a solution to some problem, it's because the solutions are out there. It's because they're not part of your belief system. So you need either to expand your belief system by accepting something which you were not previously willing to accept, or getting more data, more information, so that you can make an informed decision on it and therefore get past that hopelessness.
You know, Dr. Dan has just said, it makes people uncomfortable to look at themselves. Of course it does. It's always uncomfortable to look into the mirror and say, oh, wow, I've got more wrinkles. I don't like that. You know, there's some things we can change and some things we can't. It's uncomfortable to look at things that we can change when we don't want to. And that would be cognitive dissonance in action, you know, because you want to stay where you are because there's a gain. It's denial with secondary gains. That's what that means. So it's, you know, keep that in mind. If you don't want to change, it's because there's some benefit to your life right now. But it's not working for you if you're unhappy. So that's when we have to really stop and take a look at it.
All right, folks. We appreciate everyone who's joined us on this live chat, live program tonight. And we appreciate those who are listening to the archive too. We genuinely hope that the information, the different points we talk about are valuable and beneficial in some way that helps you with a more successful life. So next week we'll be back with to discuss more topics. And again, if you like this program, please share it, tell other people about it. If you know someone who could benefit from the IMHS degree program or even a course at Thomas Francis University, please direct them toward us and they'll find it. And we'd also like to thank Michael Kelly for producing the show behind the scenes. Always appreciate him every week, as well as his comments. So until next week, folks, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Have a great week.
Good night.